I'll often find myself wanting to pick the restaurant or make the rules or like, you know, the kind of seniority complex of like youngest in the back of the minivan type shit that I definitely kind of revert to easily.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 43 of the Mad Happy Podcast. This is producer Phineas. We have a great episode for you today. It's a conversation between Mason and I where we discuss siblings. The topic is siblings, family dynamics, mental health. We talk about growing up in big families. Mason speaks to his experience in a blended family. He asked me a bunch of questions about my upbringing in Vermont, one of four. And we just talk about the ins and outs of what it means to be a sibling and have siblings and how that informs who we become as people and how we evolve. Payman was out of town, so I subbed in. Had a really good time with this one. I think there's a lot of interesting takeaways from it. So without further ado, enjoy the episode with Mason and myself. One thing I think we have in common is coming from bigger families and having siblings. You've spoken about it on the show a bit. I'm one of four. I'm the second of four.
Yeah.
And you are one of five. One of five.
Yeah.
But from how many?
Three sets of parents.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But since I was 7 years old, we all grew up together, like under the same roof. And my two younger siblings, I was there since they were born.
Got it. And so how many are currently, are they all actively in your life now?
Totally. I have my older sister who lives in Northern California, like outside Oakland, with her husband and their dog Poppy. And then I have my...
Shout out to Poppy.
And then I have my older brother Matt, who I've talked about on the show a lot, who feels weird calling him my older brother because we grew up in the same grade. He's only 6 months older than me, so we kind of grew up like twins. He's out here in LA. It's just me and him in terms of living in LA, and then I have two younger sisters, one of which who lives in New York, and the other one who is a junior at Emerson in Boston. So there's the five of us kind of all over the country right now.
And you guys, you get together often enough? Do you do family Zoom calls, or do you do...
Not really. I think we're kind of more so the... When we're all in person, it's like no time has passed a type situation, but the group chat definitely isn't constantly active every single day. I think we'll do them for birthdays, and I think during like the first year of COVID in 20, we were doing it a lot more, but not quite.
How does that work though in terms of closeness and connection coming from different marriages? Like, you know, I'm one of four, my parents are still married.
Yeah.
And so we're similar, like we don't get together all the time, but when we're all together, no time has passed.
Yeah.
But why do you think you're able to be so close to all of those siblings from different marriages? That seems unlikely.
For sure. I mean, my mom was very adamant on never using like the half or step terms. So there's never been a time in any of our lives where we've referred to each other anything other than our siblings.
You all share the same mother?
No.
Got it.
My two older siblings, their mother passed away.
Okay.
And that's what forced them to move to LA to live with their dad, my mom, me, and our two younger siblings.
Right.
That's how they came back into the picture. And Matthew was only 7 years old, so I think he was still young enough where it was all not okay, but like still like new as like a kid that like, this is my family now in a sense. And then Amanda, who was a little bit older, which he must have been 11 or 12 at the time, being a little bit older, I think was a bit harder for her at first to really integrate, and like had more pushback at the time to, you know, it taking her a bit longer to call my mom and things like that. But now they do call her mom, and I was legally adopted, and they were legally adopted, and all these sort of things, that it really did feel like we were all under the same banner, and there was like no real difference or distinction in terms of you're not real this, you're not a real that, you're only partially that. And especially when talking to other people and when meeting new people, and when we would be introduced, there were no like stipulations.
What incredible grace and forethought by your mother.
Yeah.
I mean, sounds like an unbelievable woman. I mean, what a tricky situation. I mean, it's complicated.
Totally. I mean, I think she had the ability to just know that, like, I am creating a big, beautiful, blended family, and, like, this is my family. You know, it doesn't have to be, there's no right or wrong way to do it. There's no way that it has to look like I'm going to do what's best for myself and my kids and, like, what I think will really kind of bring everyone together and, like, grow as a family, because my parents have always told me, like, the most important thing any of you guys have is each other. And, like, it's an absolute blessing that, like, we all got to come together, and, like, we should be eternally grateful. And ultimately, I think a lot of the tragedy that we all went through together, specifically Matthew and Amanda, like, really brought us a lot closer and, like, really bonded us and really kind of cemented us as a family, having gone through that together and to be there for them and kind of watch them go through their whole grieving process and all of those sorts of things kind of cemented it for us, I think.
And would you consider yourself to be a middle child then?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I've worked through a lot of stuff around this because I, you know, for the first 3, 4, 5 years of my life, I was an only child.
Right. Then, which is its own set of things,
like, especially in the beginning of your life during that really peak developmental stage of getting all the attention, and it's all about you. There's no one else to compete with. There's no one else to share with, all these sorts of things. Then I had 2 younger siblings, right? So then I was kind of the oldest, which is also a completely different thing. And then I had my 2 siblings come in, which then threw me to the middle. So I've kind of worn a bunch of different hats. And I think ultimately becoming that middle child at 6 or 7 years old, I did kind of fall right into that bucket of, like, the black sheep kind of middle child, you know, right in the middle of, like, my younger siblings were a bit young for some of the stuff that was going on. My 2 older siblings had just lost their mother. And, like, here I was kind of right in the middle, also being the only one who wasn't a biological child of my dad, which all 4 of everyone else were. So there was always kind of something about that I think in my darkest moments I kind of used a little bit too much as, like, fuel to my fire of, like, this is why I'm different. This is why no one understands me. This is why I'm not a real part of this family, or, like, things like that were definitely part of the narrative that I would tell myself.
Yeah. So speak to all the middle children out there. Speak to us, you know, give us some thoughts on what are the flip side to that, though. What are the benefits that you've experienced? It's interesting because you became a middle child later in life.
Yeah.
But
7 years old.
Some of those are formative years.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I think you identify as an only child early. If you're an only child, you're the star of the show.
Absolutely.
Right? And, like, if you're a second, I'm the second of 4. And so if you're a number 2, like,
you're not number 1.
You're not number 1, right? And but I do think there are some benefits to being a middle child that I certainly experienced. What has been your experience on the flip side of that?
Yeah, I think for me, it allowed me to develop a really great relationship with myself. I think of, like, curiosity. I think of exploration. I think of, like, figuring stuff out on my own. You know, I think I was able to really tap into who I was as a person, both creatively, what I like to do, like, what my hobbies were, and, like, really felt free to kind of develop my own, like, lifestyle and, like, behavioral patterns, like, some healthier than others. But I feel like since the spotlight wasn't always on me, it was kind of cool in that way as a kid. When you're not getting as much attention, you get to kind of fly under the radar, get to explore a little bit, maybe sneak off and go do this, go watch this thing that maybe that you're not supposed to and see what that's about, like, go hang out with that person, right? Like, really kind of get to spread your wings and explore a little bit more than you might be able to if you are that oldest child who has to set the example for these kids, or if you are the youngest child who everyone is so worried about as the baby, right? It's kind of this little tweener thing that you can kind of go, like, figure yourself out a little bit more, which I definitely did, and I think was really, really instrumental for me.
Yeah, you can push the boundaries too a little bit more, because, like,
totally,
the person that comes ahead of you is setting the example, yes, but also kind of making those first mistakes in a lot of ways too. It's like, I remember with my brother, he would be doing the thing and then my parents would react in however they would react.
Right.
And then I would be able to take that information and then kind of chart my own path around that.
Yeah, there's, like, a, for me, it was like my mom hated weed. My mom has always hated weed. When we were in high school, was like, and she knew that we were starting to smoke, like, just don't do it, like, under my roof. Like, if you're going to do it, don't do it in here. Don't bring it in here. I don't want to see it. I don't want to smell it. I don't want to know about it. All of these things. And by the time my younger sister was growing up, I would come home and there would just be weed out on the table, you know? And I would be like, what the hell is going on? Like, the fact that over time you kind of become desensitized and start to come around on some things and it's not as serious anymore. And obviously weed came a long way culturally and socially, but I always think about that as such a funny example of how, like, for parents, it goes from being the biggest deal to less of a deal to less of a deal to I don't care about this at all.
Yeah, because kids are teachers, right?
Yeah.
Like, the kids are teaching the parents in that way. Like, yeah. Same thing in our family. Like, there was no shot you were smoking in my house.
Yeah.
Like, my brother would never, like, a hard no. And that trickled down to me. And then over time, like, my little brother was, like, the first one in our family to, like, smoke pot.
Yeah.
And it was kind of rebellious, but it got easier and easier for him to explore that because of my older brother and then me. And then we all, you know, and my parents by that point are like, they love that he is who he is.
He's going to do what he's going to do, you know?
Yeah. And they learn, you know, you learn.
Super quick, just because I don't even know, but what are kind of the dynamics of your siblings' ages, genders, kind of overall vibes?
Older brother is 35. Lives in D.C., he's married. Myself, I'm 33. My little brother is 30. My little sister's 27.
So one girl only and she's the baby.
She's the baby, yeah. And so, but all pretty close in age. I mean, we're all in a 10-year tranche, really.
Right,
parents got busy. And so it means that we are, it's intense when we're together.
Right.
You know, we're all within close enough range where we can be competitive with each other. Yeah. Like,
do you guys feel like you go back to like being like teenagers again?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. We're maturing now, but really it was like there's a bigger gap between my little brother and I, the two middle children.
Uh-huh.
And so my older brother and I really grew up together.
Yeah.
And then my little brother and my little sister kind of grew up together and went to school together and were best buds. And so my older brother, he was the one, he and I were growing up together.
Yep.
So he introduced me to all the music, you know, everything. Playing sports. He was 2 years ahead of me and I was like, you know, trying to catch up with him.
Right.
And so that really informed my life a lot.
Mm.
He blazed a trail for me and showed grace in allowing me to be this who I was.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the easiest little brother to have. I was high energy, outgoing, ambitious.
Yeah.
And he's a little bit more, he's more even keel. He's like, and so we're different in that way, but I always appreciate the grace that he showed growing up and allowing me to be me. And I don't think that's necessarily common all the time with younger siblings.
Yeah. Was it hard? How were you able to build those relationships with your younger siblings? Because I know for me, especially, my youngest sister is still in college and it feels like now it's like, she's never felt this far away from me because she's in college doing her own thing, hardly coming home. Like you're so sucked up in that world when you're kind of living in it. And I'm kind of excited for her to get to graduate, become her own person, like really become an adult and us to really get to form like a new chapter of our relationship. What was that like for you with your younger siblings, especially since you said you weren't super tight?
It's a great question. I think about this a lot. And in total transparency, it's ongoing. It's like happening in real time. It's the transition from sibling to friend.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like my older brother and I, it happened first because we kind of had to become friends because if he treated me like his little brother all throughout high school, like I was just bucking, you know?
Right.
And so, but with my sister, she moved to New York where I lived and it took us like a year and a half of 2 years, but we would spend time together. And then it just happened. It started to transition by spending time together.
Right.
You start to realize, oh wow, she's a fully formed human being. And then you start to lean on each other for different things. And now her and I got to that point. For my little brother and I, it's been more difficult because he lives across the country. He lives in California.
Right.
And so we're still working on that.
Yeah.
We haven't got there yet.
Yeah.
You know, like I think we both want to, and we have little moments of it every time we see each other. I don't think of him as my little brother. It's not that. It's just like we haven't had enough time to become adult friends.
Yeah.
A friendship, like, this is fascinating to me. It's like you're family by default, but you're not friends by default.
Yeah.
Friendship takes work. If you don't see somebody for 10 years, are they your friend?
Right.
You don't see your sibling for...
Not really.
There's always love. There's always family.
Yeah.
But like friendship is a different thing. Friendship is like you know what they're up to in their life. And you like chat with them and you hang out. That's what friendship is.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's it's weird to think about because I think you... When you grow up with siblings, obviously you're under the same household. You know everything about each other. You're together all the time to the point that it's like, I'm slamming my door. I don't even want to see you. And then siblings, as you graduate college and live your life, it takes a completely different turn. And like the biggest word that comes to mind for me is like effort of like, you now have to make a concerted effort to talk to my siblings, to see them, like all of these things. Otherwise, it's like we're all so busy living our own lives, especially now that my sister is married and my brother has a partner and a dog and all these things. And it's like, time just fucking flies. And then it's like, wow, like we haven't seen each other in 6 months. And then it's really just for the big holidays. And it makes me kind of sad, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How has that been for you transitioning to adult friendship? Like in terms of you, how you see them and how they see you? Because I think the thing that you have to grow out of or evolve out of is seeing them as you did when they were when they were a kid.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good thing to think about. I don't think I've really thought about that. So I think a lot of the way that I'm seeing them and even kind of our dynamics as a group of five is kind of more of that when we were kids, like what was it like when we were all around the dinner table, who wore what hat and who played what role and like all these sorts of things. That's why I asked you the question if you guys kind of revert, because I feel like we kind of totally revert in that way.
The evolution for me has only happened when it's one-on-one.
Yeah.
When we're as a group, no progress happens.
Yeah.
We're just, well, we're as we were as kids.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's just one-on-one.
Yeah, I mean, the hardest thing is not living in the same place. Like you said, with your brother in LA. It's like now that we're all over the map, it's just me and my brother Matt in LA, and we were always the closest anyway. So like I'm never worried about that. Like even my mom even pretty much lives back in Michigan now, right? So it really went from having everyone in LA to a few less people in LA, and now it's literally just me, Matt and my dad out of 7 people down to 3 in LA. So it also makes it a lot harder to find time to take trips and find time to meet up and all these sorts of things. But I think ultimately it's just kind of excuses and like ways to justify that you can't make it or you don't have enough time. You know, if you really want to see the people, talk to the people, like love the people, like you'll find the time.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it also takes effort to change the dynamic.
Yeah.
To allow the dynamic to evolve.
Yeah. Because
there's ego involved and there's built-in routine and rhythm and you know how to interact as the older brother or the younger brother or the younger sister.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I remember with my sister especially, I was like, well, first of all, I just have to reinterpret how I see her fully.
Right.
You know, she's out here kicking ass and being a fully formed human. And it's like, wow, you know, I want your opinion on this thing that I never wanted when you were 10. When you were 10, you did not have an insight in my brain. You may have, but I didn't ask.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, what's your opinion on this? Opening up and being vulnerable about stuff to your little sister, for me, was a trip.
Yeah.
And when she gave me advice that was really insightful about whatever it was, there's a specific moment I was like and confiding in with her about my relationship.
Yeah.
And she gave me really insightful advice.
Wow.
And I was like, it threw me for a loop, man.
Yeah. I mean, good on you to be able to really hear that advice and not see her through the little sister lens. Otherwise, she could have dropped the fucking best advice of all time and it would have just gone right through your ears.
Yeah. It was a great moment for me.
Yeah.
good moment for me.
Now, that's huge. What do you think are the biggest things, one, that like your siblings have taught you, and then two, I'm curious, being kind of the second in that line of four, like how did it kind of change for you as the last two came in terms of how you kind of viewed yourself within the family dynamics?
That's a good question. They all teach me very different things because they all see me in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Like to my little sister, I represent one thing. To my older brother, I represent something totally different.
Totally.
And so they all check me in different ways and teach me different things. So like, and as we get older, honestly, it's all new. Like how I see them really changes. So it's sort of a non-answer, but it's a moving target for us.
Yeah.
Like what I learned from my older brother growing up was hugely significant in every way. What I learned from my little brother was like, he's not going to take my shit growing up. He would push back against me. We had major friction growing mm-hmm. up. But now what I learned from my little brother is totally different. I learn how to show grace. I mean, he shows incredible grace in his life.
Yeah.
He shows grace to all people. And I can be, that can be more challenging for me.
Yeah.
And so it's different for all of them. And I think there's beauty in allowing them, I mean, it's hard. I have to fight up against like, this is my stupid family, you know, or whatever. Like, you win your kids, like, or I'm competitive with my older brother. Like, I'm not going to let him win in this argument. Like, you fight up against that stuff. But the beauty for me has been allowing them to teach me different things as they get older, and allowing myself and them to be different people.
Yeah,
like they are different people.
Yeah,
you know, you're a different person than you were 5 years ago.
Totally.
I'm not a big believer in like nobody changes and we're all the same and you are who you are. None of that. I don't believe in any of that shit.
Yeah.
I think we are who we are fundamentally, biologically, and our morals and values that we grew up on matter, but people can change and evolve.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You know, we can't keep people trapped in a certain identity. Otherwise, they can never grow.
Yeah. How do you feel like you were able to make that switch from sibling to person and friend, and like when did it really happen? Because I feel like it hasn't really clicked for me that like that yet.
I don't know when.
Yeah.
I don't know how, honestly.
Yeah.
Like the one thing I can say is time.
Yeah.
I got a lot of time with my sister in New York. She moved to New York, and she would reach out. I would reach out. She would reach out. She was better than I was.
Right.
And we would hang out.
Right.
One on one.
Right.
And we would do, I don't even know what. Right. And it was
it's
just
like,
time.
It's like,
and
that's
then
the homie. Yeah.
Yeah. She just was like. And to her credit, she would just like continue to show up in as she is, like as herself.
Yeah.
And it became, I would like to give myself credit for like really thinking about it and putting effort into it. But like it happened because we had time one-on-one together.
Right.
And then you're like, it becomes undeniable that they're just like a different thing. But then I was open-minded, you know. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. How did I do it? I pushed myself to be open-minded.
Yeah.
And then, you know, time. But I slip into it all the time. I slip into being the older brother and like I'm lecturing her and like suddenly we're sort of fighting about something and I'm like yelling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa,
yeah.
Slow your roll. So it's an ebb and flow, but I think it's time. You can't do it unless you spend time and put yourself in their world. You know, like I came to visit my brother. Also, stop using the word little brother, little sister. Just call them your brother. You're really great about this. Like mm-hmm. you talk about your mom. We talked about we're just family. There's no step. None of that.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
language is out.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it. And so removing that's important.
Mm.
But I'll never forget.
It's a tough one.
I can't. It's a tough one. Yeah, because like they're my little brother. You know, I came to LA to visit my little brother, my brother. And I stayed at his house. I slept on his couch. And we went out to a bar, and he paid for the drinks.
Mm.
That was a good moment.
That
his world.
Moment. Yeah.
His world.
Yeah.
He's in control.
Yeah.
He's showing me a good time.
Yeah. I think that's helpful, especially for the younger siblings.
Totally.
I'll often find myself wanting to pick the restaurant or make the rules or like, you know, the kind of seniority complex of like youngest in the back of the minivan type
totally.
Shit that I definitely kind of revert to easily.
That's a good practice. That's a good thing to try.
Yeah.
Be like, I'm going to visit this person and I'm going to let them run the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't matter how much money either one of you has or who's more, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just
what kind of place you're staying in.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you sleep on their floor and you let them
take me to your spots.
You take me to your spots.
Yeah.
Show me your world.
Yeah.
That's
huge. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's a big one for sure.
Let's go back to childhood for a little bit. And I think when we're teenagers or kind of still living all under the same roof, what were your dynamics then?
I mean, my older brother was the wise even keel leader of the family.
Yeah.
I was the loud, trying to be suave, trying to talk my way out of stuff.
I don't think of you as loud.
Yeah, I was when I was a little kid. When I was a kid, I was not loud, but
you were like a little wise ass.
Yeah, a little wise ass. Never like rude or mean or anything. I was like, my mom would have my ass kind of thing. So yeah. I was raised by my mother. Like she had us in line for sure. But you know, always thinking I can like talk my way out of a thing.
Yeah, that kind of energy.
A little bit. And my little brother was low key. In his head, a writer telling stories in his head. So he was on his own walking around the house, like telling stories, like writing comic books in his head.
Wow.
And then my sister was like crazy dancer, high energy, outspoken, trying to be seen, like just trying to break through, like just trying to tag along.
She's got all these boys in the house.
Just trying to be tough and cool and tag along and prove that she's worthy and prove that she's can hang and can cut it. And so I had immense confidence. Because I had my older brother who was ahead of me in school, but was confident and had a good position in school and in the hierarchy of school. He was, you know, played sports and was in the school play and all
but
that.
You guys were like a big, like sports household, right?
Yeah. Big sports household, but also big, like theater, participate in the school plays and
show up and
show
be doing
up,
stuff.
Be
and...
engaged. It's not, you're not too cool.
Yeah.
Don't my mom, like, don't be too cool. You know? My little brother was the rebel. He was like, no, I'm going to do my thing.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. That was kind of like me of if I didn't want to do something, I wouldn't do it.
Mm.
And I would catch a lot of heat for that and often would kind of be the one who would fall on the sword for like my siblings of like most of them, even if they didn't want to do something, they would do it. They would show up.
Sure.
They would put on a nice face and just kind of make it happen. And I was really the one who like, no, like, I'm not down.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to go.
Where would you catch heat from? Your mom or your siblings?
More so, like, the parents.
Yeah.
And then to my siblings, I'd be like, you guys got to have my back. And then for them, it's like, it's not a big deal. Like, let's just go. And for me, it's just like, well, if we don't want to do it, like, we shouldn't be doing it. And, like, then it just kind of sets a bad example. And, like, we need to kind of establish our own, like...
It's a principle for you. It was a
POV
principle.
POV and principle and, like... You know, like, let's not just do things because we think we have to. Like, let's build something here.
Do you think that came from, does that tie it all to you being an only child initially and having some of that, like, nah, this is my house. Like, no, it's, I'm a leader here too.
A little bit. Or I think there's like some sort of power and control thing to it for sure. Then I think it also just like, as time went on through my preteens and late teens, it kind of just became like, my identity, so I would just like lean into it even more, and then I was kind of like the problem one who like always had someone to say, like, if someone's going to be the one to like put a bump in the road, like, it's going to be me, like, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut, like, a bit more outspoken.
Maybe that was partially driven by like wanting or needing to be seen because you're a middle child now,
totally,
right? It's like, well, you're going to pay attention to me if I refuse to go to the movies.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, when you look back, do you think like, would you do anything differently in terms of how you treated your siblings or like anything that comes to mind? Because I think what we're talking about with the way that we're trying to approach these relationships in our adult lives, I think they're honestly just as true to when we're still younger and like that age. And I think they could be even more important. Like, I'm thinking if I would have paid more attention to my siblings' worlds at that time. And I know it's harder when we're kids because we're all in our own bubbles and social circles and sports teams and all these different things. But like, that would have really unlocked things for me that when I think about what I would have changed, it would really be to be much more present and really show up for them more.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question. It's a hard question.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not one for regrets.
Yeah.
But
well, it doesn't have to be a regret.
No, yeah, it's,
I just find mostly when we talk about different stuff on the show, it always comes back to like, this is really great information that can apply to our lives in any stage. Like,
absolutely.
When we were talking to Steph Shepard and we were talking about like the cycles of like wanting to be a part of a group, then breaking away, then wanting to be a part of a group again, and like how she went through those dynamics in her adult life that really paralleled the friend groups that she was making as like a kid. It's like all this kind of applies to our life every step of the way.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, if I could do a different, the thing that I would say to that is putting yourself, having empathy for your other siblings and their position in the family and how it's different. I mean, and you can apply that to anything in life, having empathy for other people's positions. It's really easy for us to come at a situation from our vantage point.
Yeah.
And from our position of whatever.
That's a great point.
And, you know, having empathy for the position and perspective of your siblings, and I think this applies sociopolitically across the board for me in general too. It's a different topic, but having empathy for others and your siblings.
Yeah.
You know, I could have done better with that, especially my little brother, my brother.
Yeah.
Who happens to be younger.
It's so tough because you want everything to be equal. Like, I think the biggest word that's in my mind thinking about siblings is like fair, right? Mm. Like everything is, that's not fair. This is unfair. They get this. I get this, all of this. And it's a lot of like comparison and wanting to get equal treatment and all these sorts of things. But I think the reality of it is like, we're all different and different kids require different things. And when you're younger, I think that's really hard to see. And it's really hard to empathize in that way because it's all about me. And like, no, you taking me to my basketball practice is more important than you taking her to the dance recital. And it's because of this, right? And if you take her, that's not fair. Why didn't you take me? And like, it's all of these sorts of things. And it's a very kind of like decisive way of thinking because it just leads to like resentments and grudges and this and that. And then like we end up just fighting and all these different things. And I think to have the ability, obviously it's much harder when you're younger, but like, you know, I know that this is a huge dance recital for her that she's been practicing for months. And for me, it's just a regular season game that like we have every week. You know, you should go take her, right? Like having that ability, I think would be a huge gift. And I think anyone who's listening and still kind of lives with their siblings or is close in that way, I feel like it's a cool skill or a mindset to even just try and be in a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it could go a long way.
Agreed. And close us out with yours. What would be something from your childhood that you might do a little differently or a lesson that you learned that you think could be applied to a lot of our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I think just that. I think it's a combination of what we've been talking about of caring about their world a little bit more. You know, I think I did a really great job of going to all the games and recitals and improv shows and dance shows and all these types of things. But I don't think I did a good enough job like really integrating socially and like caring beyond those kind of engagements that my parents would just kind of drag us to and taking the time to get to know their friends. And like, for me, often it was like me and Matt would have a people over and my little siblings would try and hang out and I would like slam the door so hard in their face. Right. Yeah. And I don't think that they would have ruined the experience at all. Or like my friends loved hanging out with my siblings. But to me, it was just like, we're here and you're over there. And like, here's this big wall that I'm building in between. Cause like, this is my life. And in reality, I think that there's a lot of room for a shared existence. And sure, there are the things that we can go do on our own. But like, ultimately when you got friends coming over, like I wish I let my siblings hang out a little bit more with us.
Helping them be seen.
Yeah.
Because if you're, especially if you're a younger sibling, all you want is to be seen.
Yeah. You're like, oh my God, my older brother's friends, like these are like the coolest guys in the world.
Of course.
Like, yeah, like, yeah. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. That I could have done better too. And I'm appreciative to my brother for doing it so well for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I did it as well as he did.
Yeah.
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 Cool. And I feel like we really covered it.
I think we covered it. I think the people, the listeners should reach out with sibling stories or dynamics that they think we should cover.
Yeah.
Because there's so much.
I would love that.
You come from a blended family.
Yeah.
Your perspective on siblings is totally different than mine. I mean, obviously there's so much in common, but.
Yeah. I think the thing about like the mental health lens, I think like twins is like fascinating to think about. Like when we talk to Aaron and Sarah, I think there's even a lot of like only child stuff that I think is super, super interesting to get into and obviously just like a ton of different experiences for so many people. So like would love to hear stories.
Blended families from other perspective, you know, religion, totally. Race, all those things.
Yeah.
Like that stuff, you know, adoption.
Yeah.
Which you've spoken to, but there's so many different stories.
100%.
Yeah. Thank you, Mason.
Dope. This was great.
Yeah, it was great.
Sweet.
Done. Wrap it. Thanks everyone for listening to this episode. It means the world that so many of you tune in every week and give feedback and thoughts. And this is one of those podcasts where we deal with real issues that people experience every single day. And so we really do encourage all of you to continue to reach out with thoughts or places that you think we should take the show, or issues or challenges that you face personally. We'd love to have the show continue to reflect the audience that listens to it. We're going to continue to do more of these internal topic-driven episodes. Don't worry, we'll still have on really exciting guests, but feedback on these episodes has been good, so we're going to continue to add those to the feed. As always, we're not professionals. We're not giving advice. So if you or someone you know needs help, please visit localoptimist.com/podcasts for more information. If you want to support the show, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And so we will be back with you next week.
The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.